before I start with the message I want to share, I just want to endorse what Harvey and I keep on forgetting Renee. I'm going to keep on calling her Renette. I don't know why. Renee, I'm going to call you Renette from now on. You know what? Home groups, connect groups are very important. We always had a saying that says, if you are connected, you are cared for. So often in church, I've been in leadership in church, and that you hear people are leaving churches because they feel that the leadership is not caring for them. But their role is not purely just caring for you. That is what connect groups are there for. If you are connected, you are cared for. So I want to encourage that. We're not part of a connect group at the moment because of logistics and that, but we're hoping to soon join a connect group. And yeah, so I just want to endorse that. I want to encourage everybody to get involved. It's very important in your life and the life of the church. So, now my nerves are a bit calm. Let's get stuck. So we're busy on the book of James, as we've done this series. And as we've heard that the book of James is like the New Testament book of Proverbs. It's got all these little nuggets of information and very important information for Christian life. So some people refer to the book of James as well as, I don't know how many of you go to a bookstore and you see these books called Microsoft Office for Dummies, Finances for Dummies. I need lots of those books, but the book of James can be referred to as Christian Living for Dummies, if you think about it. If you're in varsity and you're doing courses, you'll do Accountancy 101 or History 101 or Arts 101. The book of James is Christian Living 101. So it's a very important book, especially in the way Crossroads Church is heading, and the leadership wants people to wholeheartedly follow Jesus. And to follow him wholeheartedly, we have to live Christian lives. And this is what James is trying to do in the book of James. And as previously mentioned as well, that the book of James was written by James, who was one of the early church leaders, very influential, very prominent, but he was also the brother of Jesus. To me, and I've said it about a couple of weeks ago, to me that's so astonishing that here we have James, who rejected Jesus as Lord and Savior when he was on earth, but he's now one of the most prominent church leaders at that time. And he is now writing to all believers, encouraging them to take this Christianity or Christian life 101. So that's, to me, I keep on thinking when James wrote this, that in the back of his head, he must have seen, but this is what my brother did. This is what my brother said. This is how he did it. I didn't believe him, but now I'm preaching it. So it's amazing for me. So, we're going to go into the book of James again. And as previously mentioned, it's not one of the easiest books to read, because it has all these thoughts and ideas, and they don't follow easily, and they jump quite around a bit, so it's not easy to follow. And today, as we will see just now, we're going to come to another place in the book of James that might just cause us to take a step back and think, hang on, how's my Christian life? So James is challenging us quite a bit this morning, especially for me, hence the title, Depending on God. And I was sharing with Doug and them, it's amazing how God takes us on journeys, because this area for me at the moment is a huge trial area, depending on God. And it's amazing how he's taken us through different phases in our lives. A couple of weeks ago I shared about faith and obedience. You've got to be faith. Guess what? I needed to hear that word myself. Then I shared about the Word of God. We need to get stuck in the Word of God. We need to make it part of our everyday life. And I've said to you guys that that's an area of my life that I've lacked on hugely lately. And guess what? I had to go and apply it. And this morning I'm standing here, I'm preaching on depending on God. Guess what? It's an area of my life that I've neglected. And it's the area of life where God is really pushing me at the moment, is depending on Him. So, we live in this world where we are taught from a very young age to plan ahead. Am I right? You agree with that? We teach our children. When I grew up, my mom used to give us pocket money. And she used to try to instill in this giving pocket money, she used to try to instill this concept of save some for a rainy day. In other words, plan ahead. Keep some for a rainy day. Keep some for when one day you might need. So don't spend all your pocket money. Keep some for a rainy day. So we're taught from a very young age to plan ahead. We are taught to plan ahead in the financial part of our lives. I mean, how many of us don't skimp and save for our future? We invest, we make retirement plans, we invest for our retirement, so that we will not have to worry one day when we old or older to what are we going to eat, where are we going to stay, how are we going to live, how are we going to pay our bills. So, and that's not a bad thing, am I right? That's a good thing. We need to plan ahead. You have to. So it's not a bad thing in a sense. We are taught to plan ahead in the area of our lives. We are taught, or we are told, that we need to exercise. Some of us exercise. Others of us, we think about it. It's close enough. We eat, or we try and eat the right food, because we try to prolong our lives. Some of us even consult different resources or sources like Oprah. Some people believe and swear by everything Oprah says. So they will follow Oprah and what Oprah says. Others of us go to our hairdresser, our barber or our hairdresser. Maybe he or she is a fanatic, health fanatic. So we hear all these health tips from them. Or we go to the local supermarket, to the fruit and veg section, and that guy gives us tips. Or we Google. The latest thing is people Google. They don't even want to go to doctors anymore. They just Google what are the latest health tricks and tips and ideas. Then others of us, what we should be doing is going to our doctors and actually visiting a doctor and a health practitioner. Because you don't know what advice you're going to get from Google. You don't know what advice the fruit and veg guy is going to give you. So, best is you go and see your doctor. So we do all of this planning of our health so that we can live longer, so that we can go spend all our money that we've now planned and made provision for our retirement day. What's the use of saving all that money and you don't live to go and spend it? So we exercise, we planning our exercise or our health so that we can live longer, so we can go spend our provision, our inheritance. Again, that's not a bad thing, is it? It's a good thing. We should be doing that. Then we are taught in the areas of our stuff, our possessions, our material things that we need to plan ahead. Take your car for instance. You service your car in a regular interval. Why? So it can last longer. So at maybe in 7 years' time when you want to sell it, at least you're going to sell it at a good price still. We have our houses. We paint our houses every so often years to plan for that rainy day, maybe one day in the future, because we've bought it as an investment, so we have to look after it so that maybe one day we can sell it at a profit. So in a sense, we are still planning ahead. We're planning for the future. Again, is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. All these things are good things. All these things are planning ahead, and they're good, and they're useful. And it's okay. They're right for us. They're good for us. But the passage of Scripture that we're going to go to today, James wants us to go deeper. We sang, or Heather was sharing about going deeper and deeper and deeper with God. James today wants us to go deeper in our understanding of God's part in our lives and how His plan or our plans should line up with His plan. So, if you have your Bible here, I want you to open to James 4, verse 13 to 17. I can't read there. Okay, I'll read this way. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it reads, Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it's a sin to know what you ought to do and not to do it. When I first read that passage of Scripture, my thought immediately was that James is against planning ahead. He's totally against. He doesn't want us to plan ahead. He says that, he asked the, you who say today or tomorrow. So to me, When I read it, I thought, hang on, this oak is totally against planning ahead. But let me just tell you quickly. Making a plan, as I said to you before, is not a bad thing in itself. It shows that we are responsible. It shows that we take ownership and that we are responsible. But making plans apart from God shows that we are irresponsible. It shows that we are immature. And this is where James wants to go deeper with us today. This is what he wants to hone in on today. Is that if we are God's children, if we are believers, and we exclude him, or we don't depend on him for our future, we are being irresponsible and we set ourselves up for disappointment. And let me tell you, I've walked that path. And we do set ourselves up for disappointment. And it's not a nice place to get out or try and overcome. And this is where home groups come. This is where connect groups come. This is where church family comes in a huge place, because they just lift you up. You need that connection, because if you connect it, you are cared for. So we set ourselves up for disappointment if we exclude God. And that is where James is coming in this morning. So you might be thinking, okay, if making plans is not always a bad thing, or planning ahead is often good, then what is James addressing in this? What issue is he then addressing? What issue does he have with these believers? Well, here's the deal. Again, it's important to remember that James is purely writing to believers, like you and me. He's writing to believers that's now scattered all over. They're living in harsh conditions. They had to run away. They've got to go make a life for themselves. So he's addressing believers. And it seems like these believers are making their own plans and decisions like non-believers do. And you might think, what do you mean by that, Javi? What do you mean by they're making plans and decisions like non-believers? Well, like I said, they are leaving God completely out of the equation. It is as if they don't need to depend on God. That's what we get from James. They don't need to depend on God for their lives or for their existence. So they are taking control. They are in charge. This is what we get from this is what James is honing in on here. Let's look at how James identifies the problem. Then he shows how it should be. And lastly, there's a little warning at the end that just punches you in the gut and leaves you breathless, but we need that sometimes. My mom once said, if you clap in your kopje like you walk over. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we just need that punch in the gut just to wake us up. And James wraps the whole thing up and gives us a lacquer punch in the stomach. So James starts off in verse 13. Go to the next one. In verse 13, and he's addressing these believers like us. Maybe you and I, sitting here this morning, are one of those believers that he's addressing in this passage of Scripture. So he says in verse 13, look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town. The focus is here, we are going. Some translations, the "are" is the focus point. We are going somewhere. Some translations says, we will go to this or that town. It's quite a matter of fact. It's quite like that they have decided, that's the end of it, we will go to this town. We are going to this town. It's almost like they know the future. It's almost like they know what the future holds for them. So they know that they have to go to that town. They are going to that town. Instead, maybe the right approach that they should have approached was that we want to go to that town. Or we desire to go to that town. But no, they said we are going. It's definite. They've made the decision in their mind, in their heart, they are going to that town. Then it carries on and says, if you go to the next one, and we'll stay there a year. How long are they planning staying there? A year. How can they say that they will go there for a year? What gives them the right? What gives them that idea that they will stay there for a year? Notice the word will again. Not hope. Not we would like to stay there. Again, mind, heart, decision has been made. We are, we will, and this is what's going to happen. Then he goes on and he says, we will do business there. Go one back. We will do business there. What they want to accomplish there is, what they want to do there is to do business. That's what they want to accomplish. They want to accomplish and do business there. These people have decided that their purpose going to that town, when they have decided, is that they're going to do business. They're going to find jobs, they're going to find careers, they're going to start a business, and they're going to start it there. That is going to be their purpose. Again, who told them that that is going to be their purpose? Again, notice the word will. Not we would like to, or we want to. We will. Very definite, very decisive. And I wonder who out of them have decided what they will accomplish, and how can they be sure that they're actually going to accomplish, that they're actually going to set up a business, that they're actually going to get a job, that they're actually going to set the career. Who decided that for them? So, and then they carry on and say, and make a profit. Yeah, they are quite expectant. So they've decided, we are, we will, and we're going to, and they're quite expectant that this is what's going to happen when they're there. They're going to make their business, they're going to start their business, they're going to start it, and they will make a profit. How do they know that? What assurance do they have that they are going to do that? Not we hope to make a profit, not we wish to make a profit. We are going to make a profit, or we are, and make a profit. They're quite expectant of what's going to happen when they go to this town and do whatever they're going to do, because they have decided in their hearts and mind that this is what's going to happen. So basically, they are saying that we are going to do this. We are going to do this. They're not asking for advice. They're not asking for somebody's input. Again, connect groups, this is an ideal place to be. Bounce ideas of people in your connect group. I have a decision to make. I bring it before God. What's your thought? What's your thought? You need to be connected, to be cared for. So one might ask the question then, why is this bad? We can argue and say that, well, go to the next one. We can argue and say that this is showing that they are confident, that there are goals, that they set goals, they are goal-driven. In the eyes of the world, they are successful because they are go-getters. So what is the problem? This is not bad in it all, in itself. This is not a bad thing. And it might be true. It's not a bad thing. But the fact is that it also shows that they depend on themselves. In my case, in our case, we depend on ourselves. We become self-reliant and self-sufficient. And this is what James is exposing in that verse. So I want you to notice something here, also in the book of James. James is saying, hey, you guys, remember they believers. Hey, Harvey. Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. Hey, Harvey. You guys, he's saying, you are making plans like non-believers do. Not like faith-driven, God-dependent, Christ-followers. You are doing it in a way, in a manner that a non-believer does it. Non-believers make plans and decisions based on emotions. They do it based on desires. Sometimes they do it on greed, out of greed and selfishness. Or other times they decisions are made on bad advice. Now I can, as a Christ follower, as a born-again Christian standing before you today, I can tick all of it and say, I have made decisions based on emotions. I have made decisions based on desires. I have made decisions based on greed or selfishness. And I have followed bad advice in the past. I can stand. So James is talking to me this morning. And I'm sure there's some other people here that he's also talking to. So does that sound familiar to you? Can you relate to that? I can definitely. So James is not finished with us. So he's now opened the wound up and now he's exposed it, but he's not finished with us yet. So he carries on in verse 14, and again, very, very challenging words that he speaks to us here. Can you go to the next slide? The one in yellow. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? How do you know what your life is going to be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here a while, then it's gone. You guys living here in Milton, just look at the mist out there. How relevant is that? Look at the mist. Normally here by 9, 10 o'clock, today it's misty, it's rainy, it's supposed to be overcast and that, but normally on a sunny day by 9 o'clock the mist has disappeared. So he's saying, it's here a little while, then it's gone. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? James is asking a real and genuine, honest, heartfelt, pastor's question to his people. He's saying to them, can you tell the future? All of you in verse 13 who acknowledge that you have sometimes based your decisions on emotions, desires, greed, selfishness, on bad advice. He's saying to all of us, how can you tell the future? Can you tell the future? And crazy as it may seem, there is people that claim that they can't tell the future. And I say it's crazy because it is crazy. I'm not talking about biblical prophets and that. I'm talking about general people, worldly people. It seems like the world, we have developed a fascination for psychics and the need to know the future. Psychic hotlines in America last year coined or profited $300 million. Psychic hotlines. People phoning in wanting to know about the future are phoning in. One pastor who did research on that, that I read the article from, said that some psychics charge you $3 a minute. That's $180 an hour that they are making just for people phoning in and wanting to know about the future. And what's even more scarier is that it's happening on our back stoop. A couple of months ago, down in town by Alexandra Park, by the robot there, there's a Cecil garage. On the corner, there was a caravan parked there with a big thing that says psychic reader, fortune teller. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. They then subsequently built that eye clinic there. So maybe there was a key there for the eye clinic, fortune teller. But they moved. So maybe they got glasses. I don't know. But they've moved. They're not there anymore. But even more worse than that is, we've got a local radio station that's got a psychic on the radio station. So you can phone, I don't know if it's in the morning, in the afternoon, or evening, you can phone the psychic, and the psychic will tell you, or you can ask questions about the future, the past, and your current affairs. They even go so far that you can actually contact the dead. This is happening in a local radio station here in KZN. So people have become so fascinated by psychics, by the future. They want to know the future. And the reality is that no one can tell the future. If that was the case, I'm sure a lot of us would have invested in Bitcoin when it came out. Or we would have invested in Apple or something, or Samsung or something, because we could have seen what the shares are going to do in the future. But we can't. Even our Lord Jesus, when he was asked about his return, he said, not even he knows the hour or the day of his return. Only the Father knows that. So even he didn't know the future. So James is now exposed and he's challenging us with, who are you that you can think that you can read the future or see into the future and make those kind of plans? So James goes on, now that he's exposed the problem, he gives us and goes on and gives us a solution, or he points us to the right way of planning or how we ought to do it. Just got this? You can leave it there. So in verse 15, he says, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. So let's get a little bit serious here this morning. It's already been quite a tough punch that he's punching at us. But now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have prayed and asked God for something? You've prayed and asked him to help with something or to fix something, and he didn't answer you in the way you hoped for. How many of you have done that? I've done it quite a few times. Instead, he said no. And that's it, no. And then later, when you look back, you see that something could have been the worst thing for your life at that specific time. How many of us have done that? I think most of us have done. We must have prayed that prayer about that something, and then it doesn't happen, and then days, months, maybe years later, when we look back, we see, hang on a sec, that wouldn't have been the right thing for me at that specific time in my life. You could have turned out to be, it could have turned out to be a bad business decision. You could have lost everything if God agreed to it. You could have ended up with a bad job or a wrong job for you. You could have moved to the wrong city, wrong town, like these guys are trying to do. These things could have happened if you did not depend on God. But I trust, as we sit here this morning, that we are depending on God. So those things hopefully won't happen. So we depend on God for direction. Maybe what we asked for and God said no is because it's outside His will for our lives. That's why when you look back, you'll see that, hang on, at that time, it wasn't the will of God for your life. Also, God says no sometimes out of love for us, because He knows what's better for us. So He says, no, not now, my child. We sang that song, you're a good, good father. A good, good father cares. And sometimes a good, good father has to say no to protect his own. So sometimes, the things we should be thankful for is the things that God said no to. Sometimes we need to just think about this. We should be thankful for the things that God said no to. In hindsight, we might one day see why all those things He said no to. Again, James is saying, plan ahead. Planning is not bad, but plan with God in mind and plan with His guidance. This is what He's trying to tell us in verse 15. So if we look at 15 again, it says, If the Lord wants us to, some translation says, if it is His will, if we approach our plans and our decisions based on that, if the Lord wants us to, if the Lord will, it shows something about us. It shows us, if we have that in our mind, it shows that we know God is in control. It shows that we believe that He's in control. And it also acknowledges that we know that He has a plan for our lives, and it's a good plan, a plan to make us prosper. And it shows when we say, if the Lord wants, if it's the Lord's will, then it shows we know, we believe, and we acknowledge that He has a plan for our lives. And when we say in verse 15 again, go to the next one, we will do this, we will live and do this, or that. So He's saying, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Again, it shows us that we understand that it's by His grace when we say we will live and do this or that. Because we've now approached Him. It's His will for our lives. It's His will for us. So when we approach it in that mindset, when we live and do this or that, we understand that it's by His grace that we live and do this and that. It's with His blessing that we then live and do this or that. And we understand and we admit that every day from Him is a gift, if we approach it with verse 15. When we approach our plans and decisions like this, more of our plans will succeed and we will have less disappointments in our lives. Because our plans will line up with God's plans. And then God's will become our will if we approach it like this. So God's will become our will if we say, if the Lord wants us to, then we will live and do this or that. But James is not finished with us yet. So now he's exposed the wound. He's now given us the solution how to heal this wound. And now he's coming with that punch that spoke to you about. He's going to hit us in the gut now in verse 16. James then concludes in verse 16 with these heart-hitting words. And he's not mincing his words here. You need to sit up and take note of this. And he says, otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. So he's saying, this is what you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't make plans on your own. You should include God into your plans. He says, this is the way that you should do it, is to, if it is His will, then we will live and do this. He says, if it's out of His will, if you know that this is His will, He's saying otherwise, if you're doing outside of that verse 15, you are then boasting on your own. Meaning you, me, Harvey, is boasting and bragging about my own efforts. Boasting about our own efforts, and such boasting and bragging, James is saying, is evil. I struggle a bit with that. Why is it evil? Because it's pride. Pride sits in our heart, and pride puffs up. I think Tony spoke about pride that puffs up a while back as well. So, and Proverbs 16 verse 5 says, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. So James is saying to us, you now know that this way, verse 13 and 14, is the wrong way. Verse 15 is the right way. If you don't follow the right way, you actually, what you're doing is evil in the eyes of God. Because you're His children. We should include Him and approach Him and wait on Him. Basically, he says that the Lord will detest all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will go unpunished. They will not go unpunished. So he's saying to us, guys, pay attention to this. You need to know that whatever you do outside of approaching God, you're doing in your own efforts. And God doesn't like that. God sees it as evil. So I trust that we will heed James' guidance in today's message and include God as believers, depend on God for every area of our lives, every decision, every plan submitted to Him first. And then, here's the tricky part, we need to wait. If you're anything like me, I'm one of those instant guys, I click the mouse and it doesn't happen, I want to break the thing, I cannot wait. This is why I say, this area is a huge challenge for me at the moment, depending on God. I want to do things in my own strength. I want to do it at my own will. And I just want to take charge and control. So I'm being challenged through this. Take your decisions. Make your plans. Bring them before God. And then wait for Him. At the right time. You will know when the right time is. He will take you into those. He says, make known the desires of your heart. And He will lead your path. But you've got to be patient. I want to close off with this psalm. You can go to the next one. With this psalm. In Psalm 20 verse 4 to 5. And I want to do it in the form of a prayer. I want to pray this for all of us this morning. So if you can just bow your heads. I want to personalize it so it's going to be you and me. So, but wherever I say you, that means you. It will be me. So if you can close your eyes, I want to pray this for us this morning. Father, we come before you because you're a good, good Father. We pray this morning, Father, that may you give us, or me, the desires of my heart and make all my plans succeed. May I shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners, my banners, in the name of my God. May the Lord grant all my requests. And if that's your prayer, I want you to say amen. 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 Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Javi. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the service. If there's anyone who needs some prayer or maybe something that Javi shared around some plans that you're wanting to make in your lives, we're very happy to pray with you through that. So afterwards, if you want to come up, you're welcome to do that. Otherwise, let's just enjoy the time together outside. Okay, thanks everyone.